Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us today. We're going to be talking with Pastor David Barnhart of Abiding Word Ministries. We're going to be talking about America's founding and, of course, where America is spiritually today as it's drifted away from its moral spiritual founding and is in a place of great jeopardy. Pastor Barnhart has years of service in the ministry and has done a lot of research of America's founding, of our founding fathers, and throughout our history. But I want to bring everybody an update first before Pastor Barnhart joins us. Yesterday at the Ohio State House, we held a press conference on voter photo ID requirement for the state of Ohio. Those of you that have been following the work of the Ohio Christian Alliance knows that we have been pushing for voter photo ID requirement here in the state of Ohio. And as a result, we had a group of legislators yesterday that were willing to run a discharge petition. Well, a discharge petition is a petition that will bring legislation out of committee and onto the House floor for an up or down vote after debate. And it's generally used as a constitutional option when legislation has been introduced into a committee but hasn't had any hearings or isn't moving in committee. And so there's a way in which a majority of the House members can sign what is called a discharge petition. If 50 or more members sign that, they submit that to the Speaker's office, the Clerk's office, and it brings the legislation directly to the floor for consideration in debate and then an up or down vote. And that's what we want to see with House Bill 269, Ohio's voter photo ID requirement bill. It was introduced by State Representative John Becker last year, actually, and it is yet to receive even a sponsor hearing. No hearings at all have been conducted on House Bill 269, which, by the way, is a violation of the law rules of the Ohio House. Every bill that's introduced gets at least one hearing, a sponsor hearing. HB 269 has been lobbied by the Ohio Christian Alliance. Other election groups have been pushing for its for hearings, and yet, for whatever reason, it has not received so much as a hearing in the Policy and Government Committee, actually chaired by Mike Davila, who is a state representative from the greater Cleveland area. And so for whatever reason, in leadership or maybe even further up the chain with Governor Kasich, this bill has not been receiving the green light. So we're highlighting the legislation. We're pushing it forward. The issue polls at over 70% favorability in Ohio and nationwide. In fact, majority of Democrats at 55% support voter photo ID requirement, a majority of independents at 66%, a majority of Republicans at 91%, and even a majority of African Americans support voter photo ID requirement. The House Bill 269 is patterned after the Indiana law that was already upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. A number of states already have voter photo ID requirement laws on their books, and we want to see this as an added safeguard here in the state of Ohio to secure Ohio's vote or protect Ohio's vote. The Ohio Christian Alliance, with a group of citizens coalition in the aftermath of the 2012 presidential election, conducted what we termed as a citizens audit of boards of election. That is, we pulled poll workers' notes and incident reports from Election Day, November 6, 2012. And these are the poll workers' notes that are generated on Election Day. Those folks that work the polls indicate in those notes various activities throughout the day. If there was a problem with a voting machine, if there was a problem with a provisional ballot, if there was problems with voter identity, or even suspected voter fraud is all indicated on those, basically a diary of what happened that day. These are poll workers' notes. So we pulled those in the Freedom of Information Act, in half of Ohio's 88 counties, so over 44 counties we pulled the poll workers' notes, categorized the problems in with voting machines, provisional ballots, voter identity, suspicious activity, and then we presented that information along with sworn statements, eyewitness reports of what happened on Election Day of suspicious activity and suspected voter fraud, to the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, members of the media, and the general public in November of 2013. We then began to lobby on behalf of election reform legislation making its way through the Ohio General Assembly. We did submit as a Citizens Committee a list of recommendations that we thought might be helpful in the election process here in Ohio. We had 35 days of open voting. That means that voting began 35 days out. There was something even called Golden Week where people could register and vote on the same day. That's been done away with Senate Bill 238. We reported on that earlier this year on this broadcast. That was introduced in the Senate and moved through the House and signed by the governor. It shortened the early voting period from 35 days to 29 days, and then a federal judge got involved, and he added three more days to the election calendar in Ohio. We're back out to 32 days of open voting. Well, in our estimation, in our report, states that this long period of voting has lent itself to an atmosphere to invite voter fraud. So we gave a list of recommendations, better attention to provisional ballots, actually making provisional ballots a different color so they can be identified when the process is being done on Election Day. That amendment did not carry yet, but it's being reintroduced in another piece of legislation. Maybe that will be adopted. But what was done, the Secretary of State then began to focus on training of poll workers to pay more attention to provisional ballots and how they're handled and those who are casting a provisional ballot to make sure that they make their way back into the envelopes and then back to the board. What we're finding out in half the counties that have optical scan, that's where they scan the ballot in rather than touchscreen monitor, they scan that in without anybody looking. Well, that ballot's counted, and we found that to be the case. Either it's done inadvertently by mistake, but in some instances, we're finding out it's done by intent, those who want to commit voter fraud, because poll workers indicated something called fleeing voter. Well, what's a fleeing voter? Well, that's somebody that's fleeing the presence of the voting center. And that tells you that some suspicious activity took place where they probably fed one of these ballots into the voting machine before they could be identified, and then that ballot counts, and then they moved on. So all that to say, there's been a lot of attention given to this, and one of the recommendations we had was adopting voter photo ID requirement for Ohio. And so yesterday was a big press conference, a lot of media attention in the Columbus Dispatch, Cincinnati Inquirer, the Plain Dealer, television and radio stations, and various news publications across the state of Ohio covered the event. You can go to our website, ohioca.org, to learn more. And the complete a link to the complete audio and video of the press conference from yesterday will be there. But basically, we urge you to ask your state representative to sign and support the discharge petition on voter photo ID requirement for Ohio, House Bill 269. State Representative Matt Lynch introduced the discharge petition along with State Representative John Becker and State Representative John Adams and State Representative Annie Brenner. All are in support of this measure, so we're very happy about that. A number of legislators have already stepped forward saying that they would sign and support it, so we'll see how things go. Stay tuned to this program as we'll be giving you updates as we go along. Well, as promised, my guest is on the phone, and we're ready to discuss our topic today, and that is America's founding and where we have been as a country that was based upon Judean Christian principles. Yet today we see America is adrift spiritually and morally, and we are in real trouble. And here to talk about that from a pastor's perspective is Pastor David Barnhart. Pastor, welcome to News in Focus.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Well, we certainly appreciate your ministry. Tell us a little bit about Abiding Word Ministries, how long you've been around, and some of the things that you do.
Well, we started 30 years ago this year, and 30 years ago we sensed that there was a great need in the church for revival and reformation. And we felt that that would not only impact the church, but impact society as well. And so we've tried to be an encouragement for the last 30 years to pastors to get on the firing line and proclaim the word of God and proclaim the gospel so there can be a healing for our nation.
Amen. Well, that's right. And you have done a number of lecture series on this topic. We've had Bill Federer on recently. Bill also wrote in a book, America's God and Country. He has sold over 500,000 copies of that book, basically an encyclopedia of quotations of our founding fathers and important leaders throughout our history and their views on God and country. John Adams who said, "Our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other." It was George Washington who said that without God in the Bible, it is impossible to govern. And Patrick Henry, that great patriot, basically stated that it has been stated often that America was founded by religionists. He said it wasn't founded by religionists, it was founded by on Christianity and by Christians. And so we see with the founders, they were very adamant about our Christian founding and the moral fiber of our nation as we were launched. Tell us about that, Pastor, how you go about communicating that message as you speak.
Well, I just think that the church as a whole has fallen asleep at the switch. And this is basically true today when you look at what's happening in our country. And the silence of the churches and pastors on the issues that are tearing our nation apart is so tragic. I think of people going to church, you know, right now in this climate that we're living in. And, you know, it's business as usual, and very little, if anything, is said about the moral problems that are ripping our country apart and the spiritual issues that should be at the forefront. And, you know, I'm a Lutheran pastor, and we have a great tradition among Lutheran pastors going back to the Revolutionary War. Really, I guess the first member of the Black Robe Regiment was among the Lutheran pastors. I think of John Peter Muhlenberg down in Virginia that stood in his pulpit and preached as the Revolutionary War was breaking out, tore off his robe, and under it was the colonel's uniform. And he said, "There's a time for all things, a time to preach and a time to fight. And now is the time to fight." And he was exactly right. And but not only did he say it, he went out and did it. And he was really at Washington's right hand many times through the Revolutionary War, and was a very capable fine general, as it turned out. And his brother was also a Lutheran pastor. His name was Frederick Muhlenberg, and he was the first Speaker of the House of Representatives. He was actually opposed to his brother speaking out initially until the British burned down his own church in New York, and then he donned a uniform and went out to fight as well. And then, of course, as I say, he became the first Speaker of the House at the time Washington was inaugurated as our first president. So, you know, the pastors have been engaged for a very long time in the history of this country. And I just think that we cannot be absent without leave right now when so much is happening to our nation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're talking to Pastor David Barnhart of Abiding Word Ministries. Pastor has been at it for over 30 years now, he and his lovely wife Mary, and they speak all across the country. He talks about our American founding from its Christian principles, and basically a renewal is needed in America today, an awakening in America, a spiritual awakening. This coming Sunday, September 7th, is Citizenship Sunday. And as we just talked about Peter Muhlenberg, who was the great preacher who preached the sermon, and he said there's a time for everything under the sun. He was reading from Ecclesiastes, preaching on Ecclesiastes that day, a time of war, a time of peace, and a time of war. And he took off his robe, and underneath was the colonial uniform. And that day he signed up over 300 men from his congregation.
That's right.
Who served him in his regiment. I love that story about his brother. His brother's name again, Pastor, was?
Yes, his brother's name was Frederick. And it was a great Lutheran family out in the Philadelphia area.
Yeah, he was opposed to Peter's involvement in the conflict and said that wasn't necessary until the British invaded New York and then burned down his church. And he says, okay, I'm on board.
Yes. Eyes are open now.
That's right. So some people just haven't gotten the memo yet just how serious this all is, and we need to spiritually sign people up to engage, and that's what we're talking about today on News in Focus. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back with Pastor Barnhart talking about our American founding and America's awakening. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Remember the moment. I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live,
I realized it was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
The moment the snow started to fall, I knew.
That as a citizen soldier in the National Guard, I was going to have to be ready at a moment's notice.
Some were calling it the snowstorm of the century.
Cars and tractor trailers were stranded on the interstate in 8-foot drifts.
It was still at the heart of the storm when we arrived in a convoy of Humvees. Could barely see our hands in front of our faces.
These people had been there for hours, all scared and on the verge of hypothermia.
We dug them out, got them home safely.
That's what we train for, moments like this.
When our communities need us.
In the Guard, you serve your community as well as your country while you work or attend college full time. In return, you'll gain career skills and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Take a moment to learn more. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Ohio National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters in this station.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back with Pastor David Barnhart of the Abiding Word Ministries. And Pastor, I'm looking at one of your recent publications that you send out monthly. It's basically The Vine and the Branches, basically a wonderful, colorful magazine. You have a great number of articles in here. I see Dr. Ben Carson looks into the soul of America, an article that he wrote. You have an article in here about the Sisters of the Poor, and basically a number of the current topics that we're addressing today. Dr. Ben Carson was a recent guest of the Ashbrook Center at their annual dinner in Ashland, Ohio recently, and he also talked about the importance of America's spiritual founding. And I think it's important for leadership today to address those issues. You know, his own upbringing was from poverty in the inner city of Detroit, and his poor mother, who was illiterate herself, but made sure that her sons, first of all, she said, we're not going to have a TV in this home. And his father had left, and she worked three jobs to sustain them, and she'd be gone in the morning and all the way at night, and she'd have them do book reports. and took them down to the library and have them read books and then do book reports. And he talked about how he was able to travel the world just by reading the books that he read. First he hated it, but then he began to love it. And he said we would have to do these book reports. Of course, she couldn't read them, but they didn't know that. And it's kind of cute, but she knew what they needed to do. And, of course, he became very accomplished as a neurosurgeon. Of course, he's famous today. My wife and I had the privilege of attending the National Prayer Breakfast with Senator Portman when he spoke that year and gave that famed speech. But I want to talk for a minute, Pastor, about your book that you wrote, Living in the Times, Signs of the Times, Living in the Times of the Signs.
Yes.
And this is a great book that you've written, and I really enjoyed reading it, and you put it in such a logical way. It's an easy read, but it actually has a spiritual depth to it as well. Tell us about the book.
Yes, Living in the Times of the Signs, I tried to encapsulate in that book about 50 years of ministry and deep felt concerns that I have, you know, about Christianity, the church, our nation, and really a focus centered and grounded on the Word of God, which I think is really the challenge of the hour for the church. You know, churches have moved so far away in many cases from the truth of God's Word, and we have to get back there. And what's wrong with the church is what's wrong with the nation. We've just left God in the dust. And it's time to look at what's going on in our nation and wake up and stand up. You mentioned Dr. Carson. I quote him in my last magazine, The Vine and Branches. And he talked about the clergy of our nation, how they have largely adopted a go-along-to-get-along attitude. And I think that's a little bit of what is happening. And without being hypercritical of preachers that are really standing up to be counted, on the other hand, there is a time to speak. And that time is now. And I don't think we have that much time left as a nation.
Mm.
And I'm not sure what we have left as a church. And so it's time for us to realize how urgent the hour is. And that's what the book is all about, and that's what our ministry is all about. We just need to get focused and get the job done. Corrie Ten Boom made a statement some time back, you know, no need to tell God what to do, just check in and wait for the orders.
Mm.
And I think it's high time we take the orders from God and realize that includes speaking to our nation. So many problems in our country could go away if every pastor in every church in the country were to get into the pulpit and preach the truth of God's Word. And unfortunately, that's not being done. And so the book is out there trying to motivate pastors to stand up and be counted for the Lord.
Well, that's exactly right. And, of course, the love of the Word of God, the Bible itself, is the beginning of the basis of how we communicate with God and how He speaks to us. And many Christians today are not spending time in the Bible. They're not they don't know their Bible. They may say, well, I have a Bible at home, but they don't read it. And we have so much accessibility to the Bible. For instance, with the new smartphones, you can get a Bible app in any version of the Bible that you want. And you can actually pick your favorite verses. But a systematic Bible plan and just spending time in God's Word, both Old and New Testament, will give us exposure. And, of course, to be in Bible teaching as well. I mean, when you don't have understanding of a text or a portion of Scripture where you don't have much reference, it's important to be in small group setting or Bible class to learn and ask questions. You know, it's always great to ask questions. You know, sometimes people are embarrassed because, oh, Dad, why are you asking a question? I said, well, that's how I learn, honey. You know, the kids get embarrassed sometimes. But the fact of the matter is, it's like one of my professors in Bible college said, a very wise, genteel man who had had many, many years in the ministry, and we would just sit at his feet. He said, I want on my tombstone the phrase, he died learning.
That's
and,
great.
I don't think there's, you know, the pursuit of God and the knowledge of God is a lifelong quest. Is it not? Is it not, Pastor?
Indeed it is. And that which is going to change the direction of our nation is as people come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ, as people are converted, as they give their hearts to Christ, not only are their hearts changed, but their minds are changed. And things that they love, they don't love anymore. Things that they were for, they're against. Mm. And it's why we need the solid preaching.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's not a matter of picking and choosing. I heard one national and very well-known preacher the other day say that he wanted all preachers for the next 5 years to refuse to talk in their pulpits about anything but the Bible. Just talk the Bible. Don't get into social issues and all the rest of it. But if the church doesn't speak to our culture, who will? And so it's, again, it's time that we take a look. Some today think that, you know, well, we have the Great Commission, and so the church just ought to stick to its business and not pay attention to what's going on in our society. But if you read the scriptures very carefully, you find people like Elijah, who took on King Ahab directly and personally about the sins that were going on in Israel at the time. And then I think of Nathan, the prophet, who went in and confronted King David face to face, this powerful king who could have had him crushed in a moment, you know. But he looked him in the eye and said, you're the man, you know, speaking of what he was doing with Bathsheba at that time. And you go into the New Testament and you find those like John the Baptist, who looked in the eye of King Herod Antipas, who was having an affair, actually had taken his brother Philip's wife, and he called him out on it in public. And I'm just saying that it isn't that we pick and choose to do as the gospel or the issues that are tearing our culture apart. We do both. And that's precisely what Paul meant when he said, preach the whole counsel of God.
Hmm. Well, you know, we've drifted so far as a nation, and as much as our conscience is seared with a hot iron, that we're no longer calloused, in other words. We're calloused towards the sin around us. Lot was infected by the debauchery and depravity of Sodom and Gomorrah that he lived in.
Yes.
I fear that the church today also has become inoculated from the conviction of the Holy Spirit, not as sensitive of the prompting of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that he'll come to reprove sin, judgment, and righteousness.
Exactly. And God's word is powerful, and if we proclaim it in its truth, will be proclaiming it in its power, and it can change the nation. Going back to early times in this country, there was a what was called the Great Awakening. It was the Second Great Awakening, but Charles Finney was the preacher at that time, and Finney just stood in his pulpit and told the truth. And many people came to Christ, not just through his preaching, but all the others that were engaged in that Second Great Awakening.
Second Great Awakening, right. And in fact, Oberlin College was founded by Charles Finney.
Yes, exactly.
There's a little book for the listeners called Finney on Revival, and mm-hmm. You have to read this little book. It's a great little read, but it gives you the understanding and the depth of the move of God in that second great awakening, where whole towns and regions of this country in the rural areas were turned upside down for God.
Yes, and yes.
We haven't seen that in some time. The last mini revival was what they call the Jesus Movement, which was in the mid-70s, early 70s, mid-70s. I was kind of saved on the tail end of that. But the fact is that was a mini or minor revival. We haven't had a major revival awakening in this country in some time.
Yes, that's correct.
There's going to be a movie that comes out later this year. Frank Zapparanti, who was the famed World War II veteran, who was a pilot, was shot down and drifted in the Pacific Ocean, and he survived, but he was imprisoned by the Japanese. Earlier, he was an Olympian. He actually was in the 1936 Olympics in Berlin and actually shook the hand of evil itself, Adolf mm-hmm. Hitler. He talks about that.
Yes.
And Hitler, he got a chance because he won his race, and so Hitler shook his hand briefly and said, "Oh, the speedy one, the little speedy one," and that was him. And but he, after the war, had so much bitternesses, and he talked about how he was having trouble with his wife and his marriage, and she was a Christian, and she brought him to a Billy Graham crusade in the early 1950s. And there was an awakening at that time, a minor revival. A lot of people were getting saved at the Graham Crusades, and Doss Troutman of the Navigators also had a ministry. Mm-hmm. And there were people getting saved. And he committed his life to Christ that night. And his whole life story is coming out on film soon. And that will be a great story for people to see. But that's the kind of transformation that Christ does in the individual, is it not, Pastor?
Yes, precisely, and it's such a glorious occurrence, and that's why, as I say, I believe we have to be strong in lifting up the witness of Christ to bring people into a living relationship with Jesus, and it's why we have to make our stand, and you know, you're speaking about Franklin Graham had a crusade in Pittsburgh, and Charlie Daniels, the country singer, was on the program there, and they interviewed him, and he said, and I'm quoting him, he said, "If America don't get God back into our daily lives and into our politics and into everything we do, we ain't going to make it. We've tried everything else. Mm. We've tried every kind of sensual satisfaction. We've tried following people who thought they had the answer. But in the end, God is the only real help we've got." Mm. And I just thought, isn't that amazing? Charlie's out there preaching when some of the preachers aren't doing it.
So. Well, you know, that's exactly right. Well, we want to tell the listeners that this Sunday, September 7th, is Citizenship Sunday. It's an opportunity for you to register people to vote in your churches. And the Ohio Christian Alliance would like to help you to do that. If you go to our website at ohioca.org, you can download a free packet. Just click on the link. You'll see the breaking news banner that's blinking, and it says Citizenship Sunday. You go ahead and click on that, and then you will have a packet that you can download, which also includes a link to a voter registration form. And this is nonpartisan. It's not associated with any political party, but we are encouraging people of faith to register and to vote. And so this Sunday, September 7th, is Citizenship Sunday all across the state of Ohio. And, Pastor, this has been a great tool for churches to make an announcement from the pulpit, and have a volunteer that's assisting in the back and registering people to vote. Well, who's eligible? Well, if you just turned 18, it's time for you to register and vote in this upcoming election. And it's important for people of faith to actually pray about the vote, utilize the educational resources like the Ohio Christian Alliance Voter Guide. We survey candidates where they stand on key moral issues, publish the results in an educational voter guide, and we make that available through our website and also in print form upon request. And this has been a great aid to people over the years. And over the last decade, we've distributed over 8 million voter guides through the election seasons over the years here in the state of Ohio. So that's been a great valued resource. But you have to register to vote. So if you've just turned 18, if you've moved since the last time you voted, you need to give your updated residence. And if you've just become a U.S. citizen, you know, Pastor, I had the pleasure of registering a young gal who is an Iraqi Christian. Her family came from Iraq in 2011. They actually left in 2007, went to Jordan, then made their way to the United States on a visa. Then she became a U.S. citizen. I had the pleasure of registering her to vote earlier this spring, and she cast her first ballot in the May primary. And, of course, we've also kept up with them because they have family back in Iraq, in northern Iraq, who have had to flee from the Islamic State and the atrocities there. It's very, very sad, very tragic, but praying for them and their family. But they actually see the importance of being involved in this way because it's been a life and death issue for them. You know, America is facing great crises around the world, and there are threats upon the homeland. And after September 11th, people seemed to flood into the churches and turn to God because we felt so helpless at the hands of terrorism and what we were, how we were going to respond, the dramatic crisis, you know, scenes of New York with the buildings coming down in New York and Pennsylvania, and people understood that we were at war and turned to God for a short and brief period. But, Pastor, we've seemed to have gotten away from that and have gone back to our sinful ways. What should we do now?
Well, you know, one of my heroes in the modern era was Dr. D. James Kennedy. And Dr. Kennedy pastored Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, had a wonderful television radio ministry, but he balanced everything out so beautifully. I don't know of anybody who had more or a greater impact on the church and bringing people to Christ. But he also started several ministries, but the one that has my attention today is the Center for Reclaiming America, because he understood that Christians as a whole have to get involved. Mm. And maybe this little quote from Kennedy would be good with what you've just talked about on voter registration and so forth. And he wrote in his last book, Are You Engaged in the Struggle for the Soul of America? Are you a part of the solution to the crisis of character that has racked this nation for the past 40 years? Or are you just one of the poor, listless Christians sitting on the sidelines and watching the destruction of your hopes and dreams? My prayer, he said, is that God will grant each one of us today a new beginning. With all my heart, I pray that every single one of us will join the mighty army of the Lord, outfitted with spiritual armor, fully prepared to engage in the battle for the soul of America and to overcome the world for Christ. And that was one fine man and one great quote.
Mm. Absolutely. I so appreciated the ministry of Dr. D. James Kennedy from Coral Ridge Ministries in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And we have many of his books and tapes over the years, and he was such a great leader. And I think his example is being led by many today who have followed in the stead of Dr. Kennedy and Dr. Falwell and others who have led the way before us, and these are great leaders in the faith. But we look at some of the younger preachers today, and Pastor, just in a minute I'm going to ask you what would be your advice to them, but I want to let all the listeners know, again, we're talking to Dr. David, Pastor Barnhart of Abiding Word Ministries, and we hope that you'll check out his ministry. Do you have a website? I know you have the wonderful magazine that comes. Is there
yes,
a website?
The magazine is called The Vine and Branches, and We've just enlarged it from 20 pages to 24 pages, and it's a very beautiful magazine and lots of good information and inspirational articles. Anybody who wants on the list to receive it, there is no subscription fee. Just let us know. But you can go on to our website, thevineandbranches.org. Thevineandbranches.org. And all the information there about our publication, signing up to receive the Vine and Branches or getting books or anything at all, that will get you where you need to go. Well, Vineandbranches.org.
It's a beautiful publication, and this comes out, is it monthly?
It's six times a year, every other month.
Every other month. It's a beautiful publication. It's full color, great, insightful articles that you've comprised here in the recent edition, and we really appreciate that. Again, you can sign up for the magazine publication that comes from Abiding Word Ministries. That's Post Office Box 275, Canal Winchester, Ohio, 43110. You can also phone them at 614-834-5206, and you can visit them also at their website at the Vine and Branches.org. Again, the Vine and Branches.org. Well, Pastor, we have a few minutes before the break, and then we're going to come back, close out the program. But what advice would you give to young pastors today? Because there seems to have been a real turnover in the clergy in the last 5 years that's real notable, not only nationwide, but also here in Ohio. And a lot of young ministers have entered the pulpits facing a whole new list of issues, challenges, and crises. And what advice would you give them today?
My counsel to all pastors and to all Christians, for that matter, is that one person can make a huge difference in impacting our world for Christ. You know, we're just 3 years away from celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And, you know, when Luther nailed those 95 theses onto the door of the church there in Wittenberg, Germany, he wasn't trying to become some kind of reformer. He was just wanting to have the church open its eyes to what was happening. And but he was obedient, and he did what God asked him to do. And I just encourage all the pastors today to strap up their courage and preach the whole counsel of God. Preach salvation clear and sweet, that people will want to come to Christ. And then stand up as a church and speak to the nation and the culture. And Christians have to know that this all makes a difference. But one person can make a difference in the kingdom of God and for our nation.
Wonderful. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that's what we need to do today, is to lift up Christ. It was Paul who said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech and or of wisdom, declaring unto you the gospel of God, but I preached unto you Christ crucified. Jesus and Christ crucified. That is what he preached. And that's what we need to get back to, is the basics, don't we?
We certainly do, and I'm just so thankful that more and more pastors are realizing this all the time. So I'm encouraged in many ways by what I see in this regard.
Well, you know, the youth are poised to make a breakout. I really believe that, because awakenings do happen with young people. And I think that they see the world as it is, and they're looking for answers. And if we will spend time at the feet of Jesus, we'll be able to give them the answers they're seeking, because we'll be able to give them Jesus.
Indeed, we will.
Well, we're talking to Pastor David Barnhart of Abiding Word Ministries. And again, the website is thevineandbranches.org. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back with some helpful information on Citizenship Sunday, voter registration, and also how to obtain the Ohio Christian Alliance Voter Guide. Pastor, I want to thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. God bless you. We'll have you back.
Thank
you. Blessings to you.
To you. Bye.
And we'll be right back after this. These messages. Don't go away.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
We looked down from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is why I joined the Guard.
People had gone up to the rooftops to escape the rising waters.
Talk about intense moments. We had to lower the guys online some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question, Guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. While you work or attend college, in return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Ohio National Guard, aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back. You're listening to News in Focus, a weekly broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. We're glad that you've tuned in. If you'd like more information, you can phone us at 330-887-1922. You can also log on to our website at ohioca.org. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance website. Just Google that, and you'll get to our website. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter, and we also have videos on YouTube. Let me give you a rundown of some of our activities upcoming. Of course, we have our annual Freedom Banquet that's coming up later this month, and you can learn more about that at our website. We're going to have State Auditor Dave Yost with us. We're going to have Bill Fetter as our keynote speaker from the American Minute. Bob Burney of the Bob Burney Live in Columbus, Ohio, will be joining us as well. He's on the Salem Network down in Columbus. An afternoon drive time. Good friend Bob Burney will be our MC for the evening. And we're going to also be celebrating the bicentennial of our national anthem and presenting the annual Freedom Award to Mr. Bill Fetter and his work. So you don't want to miss this. This is the Freedom Banquet coming up on September the 25th. And you can find out more information on our website at ohioca.org. Now let's talk about Citizenship Sunday here for a minute. And that's this coming Sunday, September 7th. And that's nonpartisan voter registration efforts in churches across the state of Ohio. If you'd like to conduct a Citizenship Sunday, just have your pastor announce it and just have him put up a table in the back. You can get voter registration forms at our website. You go to links to others off of our main page on the left-hand side and link and just click on voter registration form. You can print them out. And then have the folks register and then bring those to the local Board of Election the Monday or Tuesday following your Citizenship Sunday. Also, you can go to the website and click on the link, and that has a packet that you can download, the do's and don'ts for churches, you know, as far as political activity, or you can conduct a voter registration effort, which is nonpartisan. You can also... You can also pass out the Ohio Christian Alliance Voter Guide. And let's talk about that for a minute. You can order your voter guides online on our website, and you just, you'll see the voter guide and just click on that, and you can request voter guides for your church. Just put in how many that you want, your contact information, and we'll make sure that you get them. And we're going to be producing those and distributing them across the state of Ohio. You can also print them from our website. They should be up sometime by October 10th, thereabouts, a few weeks prior to the November election. And we hope that you will. This is a great resource for people to understand where candidates stand on key moral issues. We have surveyed on Common Core, how many people want to see the repeal of Common Core, voter photo ID requirement, public display of the Ten Commandments on pro-life issues and pro-family issues are all in the voter guide. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance Voter Guide. This has been a great resource to people over the years. You can order yours today online at ohioca.org. Well, we'll talk to you next week. Good being with you this week. Again, visit the website for Citizenship Sunday, register for the upcoming Freedom Banquet, and order your Ohio Christian Alliance voter guides today. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.